You guys have a really special treat for you tonight, because I'm going to do for you a portion of a scene from Shakespeare. And I thought about doing it in a British accent, but last week Joel did a phenomenal Indian accent, so I didn't think I should follow that up, and I didn't want to make Heather feel uncomfortable because she actually is British. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or, if that will not, be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet. 'Tis only thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And those are obviously the timeless words of William Shakespeare, exemplifying the importance of a name. He says that a name is not merely who you are inside, but it's more who others perceive you to be. It's your reputation. And it can be true and earned, or it can be false and very misleading. You see, Juliet's true love was perfect for her in every way, but by name. By name, he was her sworn enemy. You see, Romeo's name did not express who he was on the inside. Instead, it proclaimed a louder truth that he was a Montague, a forbidden man. And, you know, I tend to agree with Shakespeare here, that a name, the part of us that other people see and know, tends to hold much more sway over our success in life. Because what others think of us can change everything. You see, you may be a baseball player of Hall of Fame caliber, but the world may know you as a cheater. You may be a swindler, and the world may think of you as a holy man. Or even worse, you may be a child molester, and the world calls you a priest. It can go both ways. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's extremely important to understand that who we are on the inside is critical. And that's between you and God. He knows, and you know, and one day we'll all be held accountable for that. But what others think of us can paint a completely different picture of who we are. And that can affect and sometimes control your ability to succeed in this world. Let me give you some examples. There was a company. It employed 22,000 people. In the year 2000, it recorded over $100 billion in earnings. Fortune magazine, the magazine that comes up with the Fortune 500 companies, the greatest companies, the most successful, powerful companies, called it America's most innovative company 6 years in a row. That company was named Enron. And if you guys have ever heard of Enron, I'm sure the first thing you think of is the Enron scandal, the giant scandal that not only brought down that huge energy company, but it also brought down Arthur Andersen Consulting as well, which was one of America's top five consulting companies. There was a politician. He graduated from Duke Law School, and then after Pearl Harbor, he joined the Navy. He rose to lieutenant commander, and then throughout his political career, he opened relations with China. He initiated the anti-ballistic missile treaty with the Soviet Union. He initiated the Clean Air Act. He created the EPA. He started the war on drugs and the war on cancer. And he implemented Title IX to help equality with women. Any of you guys know who this was? Very good. It was Richard Nixon. You know, you hear this very amazing bit of political stats. It sounds like a pretty impressive political career. And then you hear his name and you think Watergate scandal. You think impeachment. And so it doesn't matter how great his political career is. It doesn't matter all that he did. His name is synonymous with scandal. There's a baseball player, a very great athlete. He was the most valuable player of the league 7 different years, which is a record. He was the most valuable player of the league 4 years in a row, which is another record. He was an all-star 14 different times. He was the Golden Glove winner 8 years. He holds the career record for home runs and the record for most home runs in a single season. Anybody know who that is? Barry Bonds. And you hear that name or you Google search that name, and the thing that's going to come up every time is steroid use. Cheating. He was a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal baseball player, but the scandal that holds his name is probably going to cost him from going into the Hall of Fame. Your name is extremely important, and it's different from integrity. Renaud talked about integrity a few weeks ago. And integrity is pretty much what you do when no one else is looking. You know, it's what no one knows. And some people may know it, but it stays strong no matter whether people are looking or not. Your name, your reputation is what other people see. You know, that I was thinking about this a lot, and I just remember growing up, I've heard lots of talks about reputation, lots of talks about having a good name, lots about, you know, doing right when others are looking, when others aren't looking, but it didn't really hit home. I didn't really understand it until I experienced it personally, until I went to seminary. I graduated college in December, and I went to seminary in January, and where I was from, where I was going to seminary, it was really, really cold. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a pansy, especially when it comes to cold weather. I'm a pansy about pretty much everything, but when it comes to cold weather, I don't like to be cold. That's why I live in Florida, you know? But I like the cold weather. I just don't like being cold. I think, you know, God gave us brains so we could bundle up. You know, that's why, you know, on the ninth day, he invented North Face or whatever. And so I bundle up. You know, I wear long johns. I wear a coat, gloves, hat. And I'm not really sure exactly what the dress code was at seminary. I'm not the type of person that really reads all the laws and bylaws and rules and regulations on dress codes. And so on campus, I'd wear this great garb. And then in class, if it was cold, I'd wear the same thing. The only problem was, is our school had a very, I don't even know what the word, a very snooty dress code. That sounds so bad. I don't mean it bad, but it was very nice. You know how to wear nice pants and nice shirts, and those things aren't warm. They're really thin material. And so, you know, I'd wear these things, and then that hat is really the main thing. The hat was great. Jeff, you would love this hat. It was like a ski hat. But it had the ear flaps that came down and then the strings that came down. So if it was like below zero wind chill, you could cinch it up really tight. And so I rocked that hat. I wore that everywhere, especially in class if it was cold, because my mom always told me that most of the heat escapes from your head. I still don't know if that's true, but I totally believe it. Yeah. And so I wear this hat, and, you know, obviously I didn't know if it was against the rules, but I do know that it was at least frowned upon, because one day I got a telephone call from my dad, and he said, "Hey, Brady, I've heard through the grapevine that that you're wearing this weird hat around campus, and it's starting to kind of give you a bad name." And I was like, "What? That sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, there, you know, some professors and some other people are talking, and they feel that it's disrespectful." And I was like, "What in the world?" I was like, "That's the dumbest thing. Aren't we only supposed to think, you know, only care what God thinks?" You know, I was a young man trying to break out of the shadow of my dad, and I didn't really listen very well, and I was foolish. And he was like, "Well, you know, ultimately, yeah, it does only matter what God thinks, but I believe that God says it matters sometimes what people think." He told me that not only could it affect me now, you know, in class and, you know, throughout my seminary career, but it could affect my future. And I was like, "Whatever, this is stupid." And so he could kind of tell that I wasn't really, you know, going with it. And so he kind of backed down, and he ended with this. He said, "Hey, I understand if you don't want to do this for you, that's cool. But you need to know that whether you like it or not, you're my son. And because you're my son, you bear my name. And so when you say stuff and when you do stuff, that reflects on me." And I was like, "Whatever." And so we hung up, and I felt convicted, and I decided to stop, you know, wearing the hat. But that was the first time I even got a glimpse of what it was like to have a reputation, or how big of an impact having a good name had. Because not only did it affect me and what I'm doing today, it could affect my future, and it could affect my dad and my mom and my family and my friends and everyone who's associated with me. The things that I do and say, my reputation is far-reaching. And although I didn't understand it till much later in my life, I guarantee you that Solomon, he knew about it early on. Because Solomon, we see, he's the son of the great King David, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. David was amazing. He's got all kinds of stories. David and Goliath. David, you know, running away from Saul. Him defeating the thousands and ten thousands. And so Solomon saw what it was like to have a great reputation. But one thing that I tend to forget is that Solomon was also the son of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the woman who was a part of the biggest scandal in David's life. Cost him dearly. And I can only imagine that Solomon got sick and tired of hearing what his half-brothers and sisters used to say about him and the things that they would say about his mom and the looks that he would get, you know, from the people around town and the whispers that he thought that he heard. Because he came from a scandalous relationship. You know, he wasn't the child that David and Bathsheba had that caused Uriah to die. But still, he was from that marriage, that union that was tainted. And so people probably looked at him weird and different. And even if Solomon didn't know it from that, if he looked at the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, he would have known because God cares deeply about God's name. And so Solomon, Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more valuable than great riches. Than great riches. He knew what it meant. And all throughout Proverbs, it's scattered in there. There aren't a lot of verses that specifically target a good name or specifically target a good reputation. But all of Proverbs is littered with it. Because when Solomon is talking about a person who is foolish, he calls him a fool. When Solomon is talking about a person who lives wisely, he calls him the wise man or the discerning. When Solomon is talking about a girl who is living promiscuously, he calls her the adulteress, the harlot. He knows that the things that you do speak very loudly, and that's what your name is. That's what your reputation is. And so all throughout Proverbs, it's talking about that. A good name is extremely important. And a good name is extremely important to God. God cares about his name. Let's look at some passages. In Exodus, it's on page 53, Exodus 20, verse 7. If you guys want to turn there, that would be awesome. Exodus 20, verse 7. This is in the Ten Commandments. It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. One of the Ten Commandments, that's pretty important. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Another translation says, you shall not miscarry the name of the Lord your God. Let's see, in Leviticus 19:12, one of those boring books. Leviticus 19:12, it's on page 83. It says, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. What he's saying is, don't bring me into oaths. Because when you bring me into an oath, you're saying, hey, God's going to back me up on this one. I'm going to do it, and God's going to back me up. He's saying, if you do that, and you don't follow through with it, there's going to be heck to pay. Literally. Maybe. I don't know. It's Revelation 21:8. Leviticus 22:32 on page 86. Not a far turn. 22:32. Next page says, do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. You are my people, and you must look at me as holy. Leviticus 24:16. It's on that next page. 24:16. It says, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born. When he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. That's a pretty big deal. You know, if you're misusing the name of God, you get stoned to death by all your friends and family. That's pretty intense. Thank goodness that things are a little bit different now. But God cares deeply about his name. In Ezekiel, what is it? Ezekiel 39:25, he says that he is jealous for his name, or he is extremely zealous for his name. God thinks that God's reputation is very, very important. He thinks that what people think about him is important. Because when people misrepresent God, bad things happen. You can look at, you know, the Holocaust. That was done in the name of God. That Hitler said it was God's race. The Aryans were God's race. And God doesn't look very highly upon those kind of things. He cares deeply, deeply, deeply about his name. He is zealous for his name. One of the great things that I love about God is not only does he care deeply about his name, he cares about our name. back in the Ten Commandments, he says, you shall not swear false, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And what's that saying is, don't ruin your neighbor's reputation. Don't lie about your neighbor. Because his reputation is important to me. Not only is my reputation, his reputation is important to me. So don't be making your neighbor look bad. God cares about our reputation. Isn't that great? I love it. God is awesome. I love how so many times throughout the Bible, God comes into contact with a person and he gives him a new name. Like Abram. He meets this guy named Abram, who's got a pretty good name. It's High Father. But back then, what was really, really important to people was having kids so you could pass on your legacy and having lots of kids and lots of generations because you were going to make a big nation. And so God says, hey, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. And the thing was, is Abraham was like 100 years old and Sarah was 90 and they were way past the bearing of children. And he's like, I don't care. I'm changing your name. This is going to happen. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. He changed Simon's name to Peter. He changed Saul's name to Paul. I love that God changes our name sometimes. That's so cool. Now, I think it's interesting. Before I met Jesus, I had a bad name. In fact, I had lots of bad names. For instance, Romans 1:29, because I talked about people behind their back, I was a gossip. That was my name. Because I didn't tell the truth, Exodus 20:16 says I was a liar. I don't know if you can tell, but I misspelled liar, and so I had to kind of fix it. It was an E-L-I-E-R, which is a different use of the word. Exodus 20:15, because I stole things when I was a kid. Oh, dude, I just remember this. When I was a kid, I was a klepto. One time, I was I think 4 years old, and I stole $600. Yeah, this lady, she had $600 in her glove compartment. I don't know why, I don't remember this, but I'm told that what I did was, when she wasn't looking, I took it all out and I stuffed it down in my underwear. And she said she was looking for it, and she started freaking out. And then she saw me walking off, and my pants were like giant. There was like money hanging out and falling out a little trail behind me. So I'm a thief. That's me. That's who I am. I'm a thief. That's my reputation. That was my name. I worshipped other things that were not God. So I was an idolater. I put things that are on a higher pedestal than God Almighty. So I'm an idolater. Matthew 5:28, because I lusted after other women, I was an adulterer. And even worse, according to Matthew 22, because I've had hatred in my heart towards my brother, I'm a murderer. These were my name. This is who I was. This was my reputation. But the great thing is God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come live on this earth, live a perfect life, and then to die upon the cross for our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. And what he did on the cross was he took all these names and he took them on himself. And he became sin for us. And this may be a message that some of you need to hear. Perhaps there are names that you've placed on yourself a lot. Maybe in front of the mirror. That you're worthless. That you're stupid. That you're ugly. Maybe there are names that other people have put on you. That have been weighing you down. Perhaps they're whispers that the enemy whispers to you over and over and over again, and they're weighing you down. And you need to know that Jesus took care of it. He took care of it all. He took those names and he put it on the cross, and he says, that's not who you are anymore. You're not those things. You have a clean slate because I took care of it. And so if you need to hear that, take that into account. But the great thing is he did one better. Not only did he give us a clean slate, not only did he take from us all these awful, awful names, he gave us new names. Romans 5:1 says, I don't have to die because I am justified. He justified me. He paid the penalty. Philippians 3:20 says, I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, I am free. I'm no longer a slave. John 15, 15 says, I'm a friend of God. That's pretty cool. Romans 1, 7 says, I'm a saint of Jesus. Ephesians says, I am the bride. I'm a part of the bride of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 says, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8 says, I'm adopted. I'm an adopted son of God. And Colossians 2, 9 through 10 says, I am complete in Christ. This is who I am. This is my new name. That although it's very important from the world's eyes and the world's perspective to have a good name and a good reputation, I mean, that's going to affect you. It's going to affect you in business. It's going to affect you in all kinds of things. God says he gave us a new name. And the scary part about this is these names are very lofty. These are big shoes to fill. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. He saved us. Jesus did it all. That's awesome. All to him I owe. That's for sure. But because we are saved for good works. We are saved to live up to the great name that he has given us. And all of these names, they all relate to God. I'm complete in Christ. I'm an adopted son of God. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm the bride of Christ. They all relate to God. And so just like me with the hat, with my dad, it's who you are reflects on Jesus. Who you are reflects on God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the world, of the universe. The awesome God that we've talked about so many times. The things we say and the things we do reflect on him. That's a big deal. Have you guys ever heard of Alexander the Great? Pretty impressive man. When you look back on history, there are lots of stories that come down the pipe. And because history wasn't taken very well, it's tough to research and know if they're true. But I did hear this story, and it's possible that it is true. But Alexander the Great, by the age of 26, he conquered the known world. 26. That was a long time ago for me. He conquered the known world. One thing that Alexander the Great did that was amazing is as a general of his army, he led his troops into battle. And that was unheard of. Generals didn't do that. They stayed back behind the lines and they directed their troops from back there. Not Alexander the Great. He led them into battle. He was a bad man. They named cities after Alexander. In fact, when Alexander's horse died, the one that he rode into battle every time, when he died, or she, I'm not really sure what it was, when his horse died, they named a city after his horse, and no one thought ill of that. That was cool that their city was named after Alexander's horse. That's how amazing Alexander the Great was. He was a bad man. And one time, there was a soldier that deserted. When they went to war, he ran. And typically what you do with a deserter is you kill him. Because they're worthless and they're going to cause you major losses because you've planned that this soldier would be in this place doing these certain things. And when they run, that costs you big time. But for some reason, Alexander decided to have mercy on him. And so his soldiers brought him before Alexander. And Alexander was going to give him mercy. And he said to the soldier, "Soldier, son, what's your name?" And the soldier looked up at him. The young man said, "Alexander." And at that moment, Alexander leaped from his horse. He tackled the guy to the ground, held a knife to his throat, and he says, "You change your ways or you change your name." Because it was extremely important that Alexander's name was respected because he was the emperor of the known world. And if his name wasn't respected, if his name wasn't revered, then the empire might fall apart. It was extremely important. And if it was that important that Alexander the Great, a mere mortal man's name, was important, how much more is God Almighty's name? How much more important is it that his name is revered, that his name is awed, that his name is held holy? And all of our names relate to that. The things that we say, the things that we do, they relate to God. They reflect on God Almighty. And so we have a high calling. Now that we are saved, we have a high calling to live up to. And the thing is we've talked about over and over and over that we don't want to have a brochure. We don't want to be someone different on the outside than we are on the inside. The great thing is, this is who we are on the inside. This is who we are on the inside. So now we're called to look like that on the outside the best we can. And if you're a husband or a wife, the way that you talk to your spouse reflects Jesus. If you're a wife, your husband needs to see Jesus in you. If you're a husband, your wife needs to see Jesus in you. If you're a parent, the way that you discipline or not discipline your kids reflects Jesus. It's important what you do. This is the way they're going to see God. Fathers, God has taken that name for himself, the first person of the Trinity. And so your kids, the way that they're going to see Father God, the way they're going to relate to that is from what they see in you. That's pretty weighty. If you're a businessman or businesswoman, the way that you do business reflects upon God. You may be the only bit of Jesus that some people see on this earth. So as you live your daily life, be careful. Represent him well. If you're weighted down by the old names, man, maybe tonight, as Josh comes back up here and we sing some more worship songs, maybe you need to do business with that and you need to let go of these names. You need to put them on the cross. You may need to give those up to God. And then you may need to receive these new names. And that's not easy sometimes. It's hard when you feel worthless. It's hard when you feel helpless and out of control. It's hard. I've had some awful names spoken over me in the past. It's hard to get rid of those. And it's hard because I don't feel worthy of these. And so maybe you need to ask God to help you receive who you are in Christ. And then you got to go out into the world and you need to live like Jesus. Hey, the great thing about that is it's not like God just created us and saved us and was like, all right, peace out. You guys, you know, figure it out. He helps us every day. Like we learned today, what do you have to do? Ask. You do not receive because you do not ask. And so ask and live in the freedom and live in the grace that God provides. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live to God. How awesome is it what our God has given us, what our God has done for us. How amazing is our God. So if you need to do some business, if you need to pray, if you need to get on your knees, whatever, do that. And praise our mighty and awesome and amazing God because he is those things. Let's sing to him.